Welcome to the Legacy of Legends, a Dynasty podcast. Join the Legacy of Legends team as we talk about the ins and outs of fantasy football, specifically from a Dynasty perspective. Our purpose is to help you make the move to leave your mark and establish a legacy in your Dynasty league. And welcome. My name is BJ Kent, and I am welcomed in once again by the one and only Stephen Debo Deaton. What's up, Stephen?
What's going on, BJ?
Not much, man. Look, we took a two-month hiatus last time, Stephen. We're back. Back-to-back weeks this time, man.
Back-to-back weeks. Here we go. Less than 6 days.
People aren't going to know what to expect, bro.
No, not going to know.
Well, hey, man, we're here to have a fun, quick episode tonight, Stephen, because I'm not going to lie to you, bro. I'm exhausted. I'm ready to go to bed. But it's going to be a good episode. We're going to be talking about bold predictions tonight, Stephen. About an hour ago, 2 hours ago, I sent into about four or five league chats and just basically asked them what their bold predictions are and asked some of our league mates, Stephen. And, man, I got some interesting responses we'll talk about here shortly. But before we get into that, Stephen, we are 7 days away from the NFL season. How excited are you?
I'm pretty excited, man. That's like we talked last week. You know, we took the time off, and last week, when we were about the time we did the podcast, my leagues were really starting to fire. Like, you hear people talking and wanting to trade and trying to kind of, you know, plant their feet on what they want their team to be this year. I know we're in one league together, BJ, where I'm the clear favorite, and we got a bunch of fence riders in there. And I made the comment in the chat, and I said, we got a ton of fence riders in here. And somebody commented and said, if I lose week one, I'm out. So everybody said, let's just go reevaluate after week one and see if you're going to be a buyer or a seller.
Hey, man, I get it. I know in that same league, Stephen, I think it was week four or five last year, and I was like, man, screw this. I'm rebuilding. And so I know the feeling, man. But, yeah, I'm the same way, man. I know the first game next week is the Chiefs against the Lions, if I'm not mistaken. And I'm excited for it. Just like what you said, my leagues are becoming active once again. And, man, it's just awesome to be able to read the league chats. Some of you people need to chill out on the trades, though. Rob, it seems like every single day I'm seeing a new trade request and stuff. But hey, man, before we get into this episode, Stephen, we actually missed some notes over the past week, man. There was a lot of news that happened around the NFL. And to be honest with you, Stephen, a lot of surprising news, in my personal opinion. Starting off hot, man, we had Kyler Murray that came in that he is actually starting the season on the PUP list. And immediately following that news, the Arizona Cardinals ended up releasing Colt McCoy. And I think a day before that, they actually traded for Joshua Dobbs, if I'm not mistaken, leaving the only quarterbacks available for the Arizona Cardinals right now, basically between Josh Dobbs and the rookie Clayton Toon. Stephen, let me just ask you this, man. How are you feeling about Kyler right now in Dynasty?
Well, you know, I'm a Kyler guy. I've had this conversation with a couple guys over this short time here since we kind of started back into it. And there's a few leagues that I've got Kyler. I own Kyler, but I'm actually trying to compete in a couple of those leagues. And so I'm trying to move him just because I'm unsure of when he's going to play. He's going to play this year. I feel certain about that. I just don't know when, and I'm just trying to move him. My personal stance on Kyler Murray is that he's still a top 12 dynasty quarterback in this moment. At this moment right now, I still have him as a top 12 dynasty quarterback. That's kind of my feelings on him. As far as him and the Cardinals, we kind of talked about this. All of this talk about, you know, the tanking Cardinals and Kyler Murray's not playing all year long and they're tanking for Caleb Williams. I just don't know, BJ. It's like, you know, it feels like a bunch of talking heads of dynasty guys just like to say stuff. Like, everybody does know that they signed Kyler to a $230 million contract with $160 million of it guaranteed. That's a lot of money just to say, we'll tank and sign Caleb Williams. I mean, BJ, I don't know. What's your thoughts?
Man, I do agree. I think Kyler is a top 12 dynasty quarterback. I know that he is slipping out of those rankings in a lot of places that I'm looking at. But to be honest with you, man, I think right now is the perfect opportunity to buy low on him. I know Steve was telling you that I kind of seem like a hypocrite because you're trying to sell him to me in like three leagues right now. But also at the same time, man, I do agree the talent is there. I think the upside is there with a player like Kyler. The biggest thing, though, man, there is some uncertainty right now. Like you said, with the Arizona Cardinals, a lot of speculation, I think, is the correct word to use. But at the end of the day, we do not know what the organization is going to do. We don't know if they are going to draft Caleb Williams next year. Or, to be honest with you, they could use the two top five picks, which is looking like it may end up being next year. And they may end up just going out and drafting some defensive players, you know? And so with it, we got to quit the speculating stuff. We got to reevaluate where we stand. I think Kyler Murray, I've seen him go cheap in a lot of leagues here lately. And I think if, honestly, if you got room and you got the pieces to move and go get them, I say go get them, to be honest with you.
Here's my thing on Kyler, too, as far as dynasty rankings. I just told you I think he's a top 12 dynasty quarterback. That's an asset. If you own him, don't sell him cheap. I mean, sell him for what his value is right now. He's missing four games to start the year at least. Who knows what's going to happen after that. But just because he's missing four games doesn't mean you sell him cheap. Sell him for what he is. I mean, BJ just said it. We're trying to get a deal together in a couple different leagues with him. I've actually sent an offer for him in a league where I'm not doing, or I'm kind of rebuilding. So don't sell him cheap. Sell him for what his value is. I sent a couple offers out today, and the response I got from both owners were, that's a very fair trade. I'm just a little worried. Yep. Well, what are you worried about? It's four games. He's coming back. He tore his ACL in December. He'll be back just like everybody else tears ACL, especially a guy that signed a $250 million contract. He's coming back to play. So, yep.
And I think, like what you said, Steven, it kind of depends on team makeup too, man. But like you said, you're not going to really be able to find a top 12 dynasty quarterback as cheap as you're going to get him right now.
Nope.
The next news that happened, I think we talked last week about the Indianapolis Colts giving Jonathan Taylor permission to seek a trade. They gave him a Tuesday deadline, basically whenever the final 53 roster cuts or active roster ended up having to be submitted and turned in on Tuesday. He had to have a trade finalized by then. And so we got rumors and news and reports that two teams were interested in Jonathan Taylor. It has later came out that it was the Miami Dolphins and the Green Bay Packers out of nowhere that ended up making offers for him. But there was reports that came in today saying that that the two sides, Jim Irsay and the owners of the other two teams, were on completely different sides. One report that I read today said that Jim Irsay actually asked the Dolphins if they would consider trading Jalen Waddle, including him in their deal, for Jonathan Taylor. And so he did not get traded, unfortunately. He is actually still on the Indianapolis Colts, and he will begin the season on the PUP list with no timetable on his return, Steven. I think we're safe to say that. My take on this real quick, I think it is a hairy situation. Like what we said, Steven, like last week, this could very well end in a situation to where Jonathan Taylor does not play this year. And if that happens, I know a lot of dynasty managers and redraft managers who are going to be very, very upset that their first round pick this year does not come back and play and start for their team. Steven, how are you currently feeling about Jonathan Taylor? What's your vibes on him right now?
Well, I said it last week, BJ. I said I was worried. I think those were my exact words before this. I just said I was worried. There's obviously a multitude of things that can happen here. I think there's three main things that can happen. I think Jonathan Taylor could possibly repair the relationship in Indy, although I don't think that's likely, but I do think that's an option, that he could repair this relationship, and after these four games, he can go to playing for the Colts again. I think that's an option. I don't think it's likely, but that's an option. I think the other option is, he could still get traded between now and the next 4 weeks. Like this, the trade deadline did not pass. Sure, the Colts gave Jonathan Taylor a deadline, but, I mean, what is that worth, right? I mean, so I think there's still a possibility that he could get traded to another team. And then the third option, which we don't really want to talk about, is this relationship not getting repaired, him not being traded, and him sitting out the whole season. So I think that's realistically the three options that you're going to have and that we're going to have. And I couldn't tell you which one it's going to be honest.
Absolutely, man. Steve, let me ask you this, man. With this news coming out of Indianapolis, which running back do you want to own or have on your team from Indianapolis? Would you rather prefer Zach Moss, Deion Jackson? Who are you looking at?
I'll be honest with you. If I'm owning a running back in Indy, his name's probably going to be Anthony Richardson. I don't know, man. You read a couple different things. You know, you read one article says Zach Moss might be ready week one after the broken arm. You read another article that says Deion Jackson's ready to start week one. So it's kind of going to be one of those things you need to keep a close eye on just to kind of see what they're doing. They may run a committee. You know, they just may use those guys and maybe even another guy. So it's just going to be one of those things you really want to keep an eye on, but especially if you own Jonathan Taylor, you know, and you don't have good RB depth, you might want to be working the wire or, you know, at least maybe reaching out to those owners and just seeing what you could get these guys for right now.
Absolutely. Steven, just personally, man, where I'm at, if I've got to choose one of them, I'm probably going Deion Jackson. The reason being is because I actually picked him up in one league last year and played him in that week where he started. I believe it was week 6 against Jacksonville, where he was actually the RB1 on the season and finished with 28 fantasy points. I think in a PPR league, Deion Jackson's the right play here because he is fantastic at catching the ball out of the backfield. I'm looking right now, and it looks like he caught roughly, Lord, if my math's correct, right around 90 to 95% of his targets last year. Now, I know that sample size is only around 25 targets, but dude has hands. And so with it, I think it's something to keep your eye on, like what you said, Steven. If it comes down to it and we don't really know who it's going to be, you better keep your eyes on Twitter and turn your notifications on when Adam Schefter tweets, you know. Mm-hmm. But Steven, man, we already kind of hinted towards this as well. Let's get into these bold predictions, man.
Yep.
I'll tell you what, Steven, let's take a quick break and then we'll jump into it, okay?
All right.
All right, Steven, we're back with our bold predictions for the 2023 NFL season. Real quickly, though, I want to kind of highlight some of my favorite bold predictions that I've heard so far just within the last 3 hours, Steven. Like I said, I went into about 5 different league chats and I just asked the simple question, what are some bold predictions? What are your bold takes right now for the 2023 season? Some of the favorite ones that I've gotten so far was, I think Detroit will surprise some people, and I 100% agree with that. Someone said Steelers are a dark horse and Pickett could have a QB top 5 finish. Wow. I also heard somebody say that the Tennessee Titans are going to be on top of the AFC South once again this year. Completely disagree with that. Some of the other ones that I heard as well was that Justin Ross is going to be the wide receiver 1 for the Kansas City Chiefs. I heard that Rodgers is going to win the MVP and Garrett Wilson is going to finish as a wide receiver 1. I heard somebody say that the Commanders are going to make the playoffs. And man, I enjoy asking questions like this to league, Steven, because I like hearing people take their shots. You know what I mean? And out of these bold predictions, there may only be 1 or 2 that hit. But I like people staking their name on what they expect to happen in the 2023 season. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. I saw a few of these too. I mean, you and I are in a few leagues together, but I saw a few of these too. I saw my guy Matt said he was going to win a game this year, one matchup in his league, and that's pretty bold. I don't know if that's going to happen for him. We hope it does. But just winning one is going to be tough for you, Matt.
Hey, man, it could happen. I know right now I'm rebuilding. He's projected to beat me by 2 points. So we'll see.
Nice.
all right, so, Steven, let's go through this, man. We're going to have 2 bold predictions apiece, okay? And with this, we are just staking our claim on this take. With this, it is meant to be bold. It is meant to be something that we would love to see happen, and we actually can see an avenue for this happening. So with that being said, my 2023 bold prediction for Legacy of Legends is this. Brandon Ayuk will officially surpass Deebo Samuel as the 49ers wide receiver 1 and finish within the top 24 at the position once again for the second consecutive year in a row, Stephen. I know that last year Deebo Samuel had his injuries. I know he missed a couple of games. But even with that being said, Brandon Ayuk ended up finishing in the top 20 at the position last year. His connection with Brock Purdy towards the end of the season was fantastic. I know there's the argument that says that Ayuk only had as good games when Debo wasn't there. I know that you can make the argument, man, but did you see Debo in that wild card game where he put up 33 fantasy points? I get that. But I'm just saying, this is the year it's going to happen. This is the year that Brandon Ayuk is going to surpass him just because the system allows for him to. Will Debo still have his awesome upside games? Absolutely. I think Debo is actually a value right now in Dynasty. Okay. But even with that being said, I think Brandon Ayuk takes that next step up. And I think that he is going to cook some defenders this year. And I think he will actually finish, even barring injury, he will finish better than Debo Samuel in 2023. Steven, I already know where you stand on this, but go ahead and let the listeners have it.
I just want to end this podcast now. We can't stand on any. We have no legs to stand on anymore. It's just all. Let's just throw it out. Let's just throw it to the wall and see if it sticks. BJ, for the last 3 years, I've heard this take. I heard this take when Debo was there with the 49ers and Ayuk was coming in as a rookie, and everybody was like, "Debo's not the guy. He's not going to be the guy. He's not going to be him. Ayuk's going to pass him." And me and you talked about this a little bit pre-show. And you said you wasn't completely into Dynasty really yet, and you didn't really remember that talk. Well, BJ, let me tell you, I did. I heard it. I heard it a lot. And look, could it happen? Absolutely, it could happen. It's a bold prediction. We just said that when we started this segment. It's something we could see happening, but it is bold. But BJ, I just don't see it happening, man. I think Debo is going to bounce back. He's 27 years old. I think, hopefully the injury bug will leave him alone this year. They're going to use him the same way they used him a couple years ago. He's going to get those runs out of the backfield. He's going to get all those little slants across the middle. He's going to beat people deep. He is the guy in that 49ers offense, in my opinion. I have heard this take for 3 years. Will it happen one day? Probably. Is it going to be this year? Maybe. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I don't. I don't think it's going to happen this year.
I'm saying take it to the bank, Steven.
I hear you. Take it to the bank. That's what they've said for 3 years, BJ. We're going on about 1,000 days I've been hearing this. So
this is the first time I'm saying it, Steven.
Well, it's a bold prediction. I'll give you that. But I don't see it happening.
All right, man. What's your first one?
All right, man. My first take here. Bold again, guys. Bold prediction. So, it's something we could see happening. That we may even want to happen as a dynasty manager or owner or a fan. But this is something, this is one that I have here. Juju, my guy, the Juju Smith-Schuster regains his peak form from his early Pittsburgh years and finishes as a top 15 wide receiver this year with Mac Jones throwing him that football up there in New England. BJ, Mac Jones, I think, is coming along very nicely. He is right now the only active quarterback on their roster. He's that good, BJ. He is that good. Bill O'Brien coming in with a new offensive coordinator. I think he's going to really turn things around. I really think Juju is going to get fed in that offense. The only other notable wide receivers on that team, Devontae Parker, trash. Kendrick Bourne, trash. And the rookie Kayshon Boutte, who is actually really – fighting for a roster spot, from what I read and heard. So in my eyes this year, Juju's probably going to be the guy, and he's going to regain that form from his early Pittsburgh years, and he's going to dominate and finish as a top 15 wide receiver.
Steven, we called my take earlier bold, man. You know what, though? I think, honestly, one thing I can say about this take, though, Steven, is that this hinges on Mac Jones. I think that looking back at Juju's numbers in 2020 in Pittsburgh, he finished as the PPR's wide receiver 17, had a fantastic year that year. I think he ended up having over 128 targets, 831 yards, and 9 touchdowns. Last year with the Kansas City Chiefs, he only finished as wide receiver 27 in that offense, PPR-wise, and ended up only having, I think it was right around, my phone froze up, right around 100 targets and only 3 touchdowns. But one thing I will say that Juju has for him in New England, he's the only target. Okay, let's plain and simple. Devontae Parker will probably have some good flex games every now and then, but as far as worrying about Devontae Parker, Kendrick Bourne, or Kayshon Boutte eating into Juju's target share, I'm not really too worried about it. And even their tight ends, Mike Gesicki and Hunter Henry, I'm still not worried about it. Bill O'Brien coming in, I'm an Alabama fan. And just between me and you, Steven, I hated Bill O'Brien last year as an Alabama OC. But with that being said as well, do I think that he can bring a little bit of spark to that offense? I sure hope so. But also, I think what it comes down to, man, is Belichick always finds a way to make players produce that you when you least expect it. And so can he make Mac Jones take a step up? Can he get him in that top 15, top 13 quarterback? And not only that, but can he get Juju the ball? And so it's a bold take, Steven. I don't know how I feel about it, man. I'll be honest with you. I don't have a single Juju share in my, Lord, 15, 16 leagues now. But, man, I wish the best for you.
Here's what I'm looking for, BJ. 2018 Juju. 22 years old. He was very young then. He's still, I think, young enough to replicate these numbers. 166 targets, 111 receptions, 1,426 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That Juju is the Juju I'm looking for this year in New England.
Hey, man. My question for you, though, Steven, just kind of plain and simple, man. Do you think that Mac Jones can support a top 15 wide receiver?
You know, I think it's possible. I do. Not that I love Mac Jones, but I do think it's possible, especially when you just feed one guy. And I just don't know who else they're going to feed. I mean, they got.
Yeah.
I mean, look, those other receivers are fine. I mean, they're going to be out there. But Juju's, in my opinion, by far the best. They've got Hunter Henry. I know that. But, again, older. He wasn't great last year. But I know Mac Jones likes Hunter Henry. But in my opinion, I mean, Juju's like the guy that he's going to be throwing the ball to. I think it's possible. I really do. I think it's possible. Bold but possible.
Bold. That's all we're looking for, Steven. So my next bold prediction that I'm going with, I feel like this man has gotten written off of literally everywhere. Okay. And the reason that I say that is because I have seen him drop in dynasty rankings nonstop. I have actually seen people actively try to trade this man and almost never get anything in return. But the wide receiver that I expect to finish as a top 15 wide receiver on the year, Steven, is no other than Keenan Allen with the Los Angeles Chargers. Keenan Allen finished last year as the wide receiver 42 in PPR, only playing in 10 games. Before that, he had a streak of 5 years in a row finishing inside the top 15 at the position. In 2021, he finishes top 10. He finishes 14 in 2020, 6 in 2019, 12 in 2018, and 3 in 2017. Some things that I see that I could see where this is going to bring an uptick in Keenan Allen's production for this year is you have Kellen Munn coming over from the Dallas Cowboys in, who is a very, very pass-heavy mindset, mind you, who understands how a spread offense works and gets those little short passes and knows what kind of talent he has on the field, is coming over to the Los Angeles Chargers as their new offensive coordinator. I am expecting Justin Herbert to prove the doubters wrong this year. I have seen where in a lot of rankings where Justin Herbert is now on the verge of being outside that top five. He was quarterback 3 last year, mind you, going into the season, right behind Josh Allen, right behind Patrick Mahomes. But now he's sitting behind Jalen Hurts. He's sitting behind Joe Burrow, and I completely understand that. I get it. But also, could I see Justin Herbert having a bounce back year with the new OC coming in, with a new system, with even a better weapon like Quentin Johnston coming in instead of, Lord, who was it last year? Josh Palmer, Jalen Guyton? But my thing is, man, Keenan Allen needs to remind the haters what he can do. If you look back at last year, Steven, wrapping up the season from weeks 13 to week 18, he didn't finish outside wide receiver 25. He had 4 games where he was a wide receiver 1 in PPR points. And so my thing is, man, he is going to get targets. I saw a report last week that said that someone watching training camp said that this offense runs through Keenan Allen. that he is running short routes, that he is basically getting the ball 4 or 5 times a drive almost nonstop. And I get his training camp, I get the hype and all that kind of junk. But my thing is, man, Keenan Allen should not be slipping to where he is right now at ADP. I have seen people wait until like round 8, 9, 10 in super flex leagues to draft this guy. And my thing is, man, you can't, like, if you've got Keenan Allen as your wide receiver 3 on a team, dude, you're balling out. Okay. And you can just, you can ride him to a championship. I'm just telling you, as long as the dude stays healthy, he missed 5 games last year, 6 games last year, 7 games in total, 7 games. As long as the guy can stay healthy, he is going to eat, Steven. He's going to eat. And so I'm expecting a, man, as just as he finished the year, he's going to start back right where he was.
PJ, get fired up about Keenan Allen, man. Get fired up. I like it. Look, this take, opposed to your, Brandon, your awful. I mean, I'm sorry, not awful. Bold, Brandon.
Thanks. Take. Appreciate that. That's a good word.
I really like this Keenan Allen take. And the only thing that should give anybody worry, and you just said it, are the injuries and then possibly Father Time creeping up on him. 31, I believe, as we speak right now, 31 and maybe a half.
Yeah, 31.
I know you're fired up, BJ. I do want to remind our listeners that Kellen Mond is not the OC.
Oh, it's Kellen Moore. My fault. Sorry.
It's not Kellen Mond. I just want to remind our listeners he is still.
Yeah, Kellen Mond got booted this week, right?
I don't know. I don't know where Kellen Mond is. My fault. He is definitely not the OC in Los Angeles.
I blacked out for a minute, man. That's my fault.
It is Kellen Moore. But anyway, dude, this take is I like it. I think it's fire. I think it's bold. And I do think it's a lot more likely that this take can come to fruition for you, especially if Keenan Allen stays healthy. Look, before the injury this past year when he was logging healthy seasons dating back to 2017, here's your targets: 159, 136, 149, 147, 157. Those targets alone are going to give you wide receiver 2 at worst numbers. So I completely agree with this take. I think it's great. Again, if you're letting – if Keenan Allen's falling in your redraft leagues into that 9th and 10th round, and maybe even your dynasty leagues, you're doing some dynasty startups and you're going for the win. If he's falling in the 9th and 10th in a startup, 11th, he's a league winner. He is a league winner at that price for you. So, look, get him. I think he can be a league winner for a lot of teams this year, BJ.
I just looked 2 months ago. He fell to the back end of the 7th round. And one of my startups that I was in.
Yeah.
And I'm looking right now at a redraft that I was in not too long ago. And you go ahead with your next take, Steven. I'll find this data and give it to you on the next
All right. My next take, and we've already talked about this guy early on the podcast a little bit, but my take here is Kyler Murray. My guy, Kyler Murray. Now, this is a bold take, BJ. This may even be a reach past year, even past your Brandon Ayuk take. But this Kyler Murray take that I'm giving here is that Kyler Murray will get traded to a contender after a catastrophic injury to another quarterback, and he will finish as a top 5 dynasty quarterback. Not a top 5 on the year, because he is going to miss 4 games this year, but a top 5 dynasty quarterback. That's my bold take about Kyler Murray. I think he could be traded to a contender after an injury to another quarterback, and he's going to finish as a top 5 dynasty quarterback. Now, I know, I'm contradicting what I said about him getting paid all this money. And look, guys, let's go back to that word: bold prediction. Okay, this is a bold prediction. Okay, I could see this happening. This is lining up. The stars are aligning, guys, for Kyler Murray to be that top 5 dynasty quarterback. I like the guy. I do like him. Does he have some character issues? Maybe. Do people think he's not a winner? Maybe. I don't care. I like the guy. I think he could probably come back and maybe change some people's minds as he grows, right, as he matures. We'll see. But I do like the player. I do think he's getting I do think that people in leagues are kind of standoffish on him for whatever reason. So, but again, I like the guy. I think he is definitely locked in as a top 12 dynasty quarterback right now in this moment. I think if he does come back and play, whether it be for the Cardinals or, again, as I said in my bold take, he might get traded to another team. I think he has the potential to vault his name back up into that top five dynasty quarterback ranking.
Yeah, and I like what you said there, Stephen. You are not banking on him finishing as a top five quarterback at the end of the year in standings.
No,
were basically saying is that by the end of the year next year, he will have bounced up in rankings back up to a top five quarterback.
Exactly.
Yeah, Stephen, I don't know how likely this take is, man, but I will 100% agree with you that Kyler Murray is a value right now in Dynasty. I think that he has the upside to finish in the top five QB rankings. I just don't know how long it's going to take him to get back up there, but I am hopeful for that for sure. Stephen, man, we got 1 week to the NFL season. You got any final fantasy advice before we kind of close this thing out?
Man, I just think everybody needs to get their tailgate food ready, get your TV set up, get your man caves going, and y'all get ready for a nice week of football, man. Let's enjoy it. Let's get back on track. I guess we'll record one more time before our kickoff on Thursday night, right? So maybe we can pump you out one more before we have that kickoff. Hopefully we have some nice news in the next 7 days. What do you think, BJ?
Absolutely, man. We need a Kareem Hunt signing is what we need, Stephen. We need to bring him back to life.
Yeah.
I will say this too, man. Next week, we'll give you some starts and sits of the week. And one thing to be looking for as well is our underdog picks next week, man. Everything that we try to do each week is give you some underdog values. And so be looking for that, for some picks, for some hits. We try to keep those things going on a weekly basis. And so we'll try to get those in and ready for you before the kickoff Thursday night. Outside of that, you can follow me on Twitter at AfroDynamics116. You can follow Steven on X at SDeaton24. You can follow our pod as well at LOL Dynasty Pod. We appreciate each and every listen that you guys give us, man. It means the world to us. We are just two normal dudes trying to talk some dynasty football. And so we hope that y'all have a fantastic last week of the offseason. Man, make some trades. Figure out if you're a contender or not. And then, man, go make some moves. And so we look forward to having one more episode before week one officially kicks off. And, man, we hope to have a fantastic week.